Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So it's college acceptance season, and yesterday journalist and author Jacques Steinberg gave us a window into the admissions office and what goes on in those committees that determine the future of our country. But today we look at another facet of the experience, that of the parents. Parents who see dozens of glossy college brochures land in your mailbox while your teen is dealing with other important matters like learning how to drive and going to prom. Andrew Ferguson, senior editor at the Weekly Standard, saw this happen when his son was 16 and decided to write a book about it. It's called Crazy You, One Man's Crash Course in Getting His Kid into College. Hi, Andrew. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
And parents, one piece of advice, if you have gone through this as we open up our phones, here's what we want you to do, either or both. One piece of advice for tomorrow's anxious parents, or how you went temporarily insane because of the application process. 212-43, after all, the book is called Crazy You. That's capital U as in university, Crazy You. 212-433-WNYC. How was it Crazy You when you were a child and you were going through this? And one piece of advice for tomorrow's anxious parents, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Andrew, in your book, you examine all the elements that make college admissions so stressful, the SATs, the personal essay writing, the campus tours. But this book is really about your personal experience. Do you think the process is more stressful for parents than it is for the kids, based on what you saw?
Well, you know, my son says so. I'm not sure I believe him. The thing he thought when he read the manuscript, which I had him do so he wouldn't sue me if I put something in there he didn't like, he said that I can't believe how freaked out you guys were. And then as we talked some more, it turned out, well, he was pretty freaked out too. It's one of those things that you kind of share with your kids. You know, it's not necessarily the most pleasant experience that you can have, but it's started to occur to me that it was almost like parenthood in concentrated form. You know, it's just everything packed into this one sort of adventure that you're on, because what you're basically doing is, you know, training them to leave, you know, telling the people you can't live without how to live without you. And this is a, you know, that's parenthood in a nutshell right there.
Yeah. In a Q&A with the New York Times, you said, if any other industry failed in its mission as spectacularly as American higher education, it would collapse. Were you just being snarky? Because, for all the things that really don't work about America, our higher education is still seen as the crown jewel in the world.
Well, that's true, especially when it comes to research universities and doing things like basic research. I don't think anybody questions the paramount standing of the American higher education system. Where it really starts to break down, though, is in the more day-to-day kind of life that the rest of us live who aren't physicists or research scientists. And that's what you know about this experience is, one, the colleges cost too much. And two, as we've learned through some studies lately, kids aren't learning that much. And so my thought was, or my question that I was trying to pursue, is how can an industry that has that kind of weakness continue to stay afloat? And as it happened, all I had to do was look in the mirror, because it was people like me, you know, parents who were, you know, for various reasons, for status or for out of love for their kids, mm-hmm. Kind of, you know, overdo it when sending their kids off to school.
Kelly in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kelly.
Hi. So my daughter, we've just gone through this process. We're still waiting on two schools, but she's pretty much set on NYU. And it was after a series of so-called rejections, non-admits to other schools that she thought she had her heart on. Mm-hmm. And she forgot that NYU was her first choice, and she was like a sophomore in high school. And I got sick over it, she got anxious over it, and what I finally realized is, you know, your kid ends up in a place that they can get a great education and that they're going to be happy, and if for some reason they're not, they can transfer the next year. We all have gotten so crazy over this.
Why did you call them so-called rejections?
Because I think they should be, you know, if you look on the actual websites or whatever, they're not admitted. Not admitted is something different than being rejected. And all the kids are saying, I was rejected, I was rejected, I was rejected. Mm. And I think that's a bad message to send them.
Kelly, thank you very much. Andrew, you relate to that?
Oh, absolutely. The term rejected is a little harsh, and kids tend to take that literally. But her larger point is, you know, is what I wanted, I hope people would get out of my own experience as I put it down in the book, which is, you know, relax. This actually is going to end someday. Your kid's going to get into, as 90% of kids in America do who apply to college, get into one of the top three choices, and he or she is going to be very happy when he gets there. This is just the way the experience is for most people. But when you're actually in the middle of it, you know, and you're trying to help the kid write the essays or you're, you know, helping him prepare for the SAT, you tend to forget all that. So if anybody ever asked me just one bit of advice for parents, it would be, you know, relax, because it does have a happy ending.
Yeah, I know parents who, for example, were completely livid that their daughter was rejected from Yale and Harvard because they thought they really actually that she should have gotten in and that they favored boys and all of that stuff. And they were just so disappointed. She wound up going to Wesleyan and was very happy.
Right.
So
one of the college counselors I talked to in researching the book said something I thought was very, very perceptive, which is she had a client who was saying, well, my daughter's going to apply to all 8 Ivy League schools, or however many Ivies there are now. They keep adding them. And she said, well, in that case, she doesn't understand the schools, because each of those schools has different strengths, is sort of built for different kinds of kids. And if you really think that all you care about is going to an Ivy, well, then you've got the wrong motivation.
Tom in Hastings, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Okay. What you got?
Well, my one piece of advice is don't take no. My daughter got a rejection from the University of Wisconsin, and I said, listen, you don't have to take this. So she called up. And she was in Italy at the time because she had to take a year off because she was rejected from all the schools she applied. She called up, got an interview, and went out to the University of Wisconsin. The guy liked her so much, and he admitted her. She went to school. She got, I don't know, B+, A average. She went on to graduate school, got her PhD, and now is a college professor of history at a well-known and very prestigious women's school in this country. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you don't have to take no.
Thank you very much. Andrew Ferguson, author of Crazy You, One Man's Crash Course in Getting His Kid into College. You also tackle in your book the ubiquitous U.S. News and World Report college rankings and the notion of prestige. Do you think that's mainly for parents' benefit?
Yeah, clearly parents are driving the process when it comes to those rankings. But, you know, I have sort of heretical thoughts about U.S. news rankings. You know, they're widely disparaged within the higher education industry, and
yeah,
people blame it for all kinds of things. But the thing you have to remember is when they started in the mid-'80s, it was almost impossible for a parent to get hold of the kind of information that they got hold of and compare it across schools.
Hmm.
It was really the break in the dam that has led to this, you know, mountains of information, maybe even too much information that we have access to. And we really ought to remember that about U.S. News. It's not the devil incarnate the way, believe me, some of these admissions deans will tell you.
I think our most complacent caller about the whole thing, we're going to talk to the laid back, I think, Hugh in New Rochelle. Yes, Hugh?
We were kind of laid back as parents, largely because our kids kind of pushed against us, and they got sort of B pluses, A minuses in high school, enough to keep us off their back, and then the college process came along, and we wanted to be helicopter parents, but they kind of said, you know, lay back, and we did. So we relaxed against our own better judgment, and it all worked out just fine. So they all got into, none of them got into Harvard or Yale, but they all got into exactly the right college for them. The last one's still in her senior year, so we don't know, but she's going to SUNY Purchase, which I think is supposedly a great place, and she's interested in the arts, and I think that'll work out. So I think you can just kind of relax your way to success.
Thank you. You buying that, Andrew?
Well, if that approach works, I'm very, very happy for you. It's certainly, in a way, it's more sane than the kind of overwrought approach that I had, I suppose. You know, I had one friend that I talk about in the book who had a quote that kind of summed up how insane it is, which is, the future of our children is too important to be left to our children, which is, you know, when you stop to think about it, is actually not such a great idea. You know, the kids have to be able to grab hold of this thing on their own. But, you know, it's very hard letting go as a parent. And, you know, parents can do useful things, too.
Let me sneak in one more caller, because we've been talking about the parent-child relationship. Bradley in Colorado Springs has a sibling-sibling relationship college app story. Right, Bradley?
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Can you do it in, like, 20 seconds?
The best thing that happened in the whole process was that the younger child, who is now a senior, looked at his older brother 3 years ago and said, I'm going skiing at Christmas break. I'm going to have this whole process over with by November. And he just, you know, ran with the whole thing, and it was done.
How? You mean early admission?
Early admission. He took his subject exam tests. He took his SATs all in his junior year, because he wasn't going to be writing college applications every single day over Christmas break.
He just was out to save that Christmas break. Thank you for calling from Colorado Springs. And Andrew Ferguson, author of Crazy You, One Man's Crash Course in Getting His Kid into College. Last piece of advice. Major thing that all the parents should remember. Andrew Ferguson told me this.
Well, I'll say it again. It has a happy ending. It will be over someday. There's nothing more irritating than telling a jumpy person that he needs to relax. But if I had a dime for every time people told me to relax, I could afford my son's tuition. But the fact is, it's just true. The thing has a happy ending, and in fact, you'll probably end up closer to your kid than when you started.
So I guess we had a happy ending today, too. Andrew Ferguson, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Talk to you tomorrow, folks. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.